Well, Kenny Pickett went down with a hamstring injury, and suddenly the Browns quarterback situation looks even crazier. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Pearl, this is the moment for Shedeur Sanders. This is it. If he's going to take advantage of this situation, and, you know, Kenny Pickett's not out for the season. This isn't something devastating here. It's just a hamstring injury. But so far, Shedeur Sanders has not really made a dent in this quarterback competition. He's been on a different field. He's taken no first-team reps. Browns are going to be in pads for the first time today. If he wants to actually, you know, be a thing, be a factor in this quarterback competition, that has to be right now. Because Joe Flacco's so much older and so much more veteran, I don't think he needs tons and tons of snaps. They love what they've seen from Dylan Gabriel. It's Shedeur that's the one who has a lot of ground to make up.
Neither of the rookies are playing here. Come on, Maggie. You know it. I don't care how bad Kenny Pickett's hamstring. Even with a hamstring, Kenny Pickett's got to be so many miles ahead of Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel. This is, I think, even with this opportunity on Monday, where he will practice presumably more because Kenny Pickett's out, I just don't think we're 5 weeks away from the season. I don't think there's any way they're getting either rookie ready, and they know it. So I think it's still, I don't think the Kenny Pickett injury changes anything. Developmental, for sure. They just want to see him improve, and then they're going to stash him deep on the roster.
Okay, but I ask you, is that smart from the Browns' perspective? So you have Pickett now with a hamstring. He's not like a super mobile quarterback anyway.
He's pretty fast. Remember the play that he changed the rule in college? He was moving pretty fast there.
Yeah, they changed the rule because he pretended to slide and juked out the defender and then ran for five more yards in a first down or maybe more.
He was flying down the field.
And I think Josh Allen tried it a couple times after that. Maybe Mahomes. Everyone tries it now with the pump fakes and stuff. But he literally did the slide fake. And so, you know, yeah, he can move. If he has a hamstring, what do we always say about the soft tissue injuries? They linger.
Linger.
And Joe Flacco is 41, man.
And? So?
You think that he's some kind of impenetrable force of man of steel. He's not.
I think he knows the playbook like the back of his hand. This is the key. I don't think it's about talent. I don't think it's about any other factor. But they have a game in 5 weeks, and somebody's got to call the plays. And you're telling me that these two rookies, one of whom, Shedeur Sanders, hasn't even been with the first team yet, is going to get ready in 5 weeks, Maggie?
No, this looks very bad for Shedeur. What I'm saying is this is silly from the Browns. If you don't think you're going to be playing one of your rookie quarterbacks this season, and yeah, developmental and this and that, fine. Between Kenny Pickett now hurt and Joe Flacco 41.
40, by the way. You're adding 40, a year
sorry.
To
When's
Joe
his Flacco? Birthday? It's like
January.
Okay, sorry about that, Joe. I got him confused with Rodgers. But here's the thing.
That is very fair.
And honestly, as someone who is on the other side of 40, what is the difference between 40 and 41? It's all the same.
What
feels the same getting out of bed in the
way,
morning.
Aaron Rodgers is running around. He looks fine. Like, I think you could play quarterback at 41 because the rules have changed in the NFL.
I know, but to think that Matthew Stafford is not even 40 yet. He's dealing with a back injury where he's going to be out of training camp this entire week. We'll get into that in a little bit. But you're just talking about these older quarterbacks and asking him to hold up for 17 games, which barely, it's so hard for almost any team to get through one season with one quarterback. You know, that rarely happens. So to think that all of a sudden Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur are not going to be called on at any point, to me is a pipe dream. It's more likely that given the two guys who are in 1 and 1A of the depth chart, they probably will. And again, I'll take it back to Shedeur here. This is your moment. You know, Andrew Berry, the GM of the Browns, came out and was asked about Shador's offseason with the two speeding tickets and said, bonehead move. You know, disappointed. And there's been all the glowing things coming out about Shedeur, but he hasn't exactly been killing it. You got the two speeding tickets. He said it was out joyriding. And then the set, and a deer could come. You could hurt somebody. Like all the things that you say when someone is driving recklessly and that are true. And then on top of it, he is not even close to sniffing a real opportunity. Now Kenny Pickett has the hamstring. You're in pads for the first time today. If you can't do this now, then I think that's probably, I don't say that's it for the season, but I'm way less confident that Shedeur's actually, they might get traded away. Maybe they do put him on practice squad. I don't know what the future is for Shedeur, because I was baffled the day they took him on day three of the draft, and I'm just as baffled now because he's getting, at least so far, no meaningful reps with the ones.
But let's face it, he's being treated like a fifth-round pick, which is what he was.
Right, which means there's no risk attached to him.
Right, well, there's a little risk. Fifth is a little high to get cut. I mean, I think most fifth-rounders make it. But that being said, most fifth-round quarterbacks do not sniffed the field in week one. It's not even in a consideration. Russell Wilson was a shock when he made starting week one, and he was a third rounder.
That's true.
So normally, who's another fifth rounder? Will Howard, for example. Like, nobody's talking about when will Howard start. So maybe we got to recalibrate how we talk about Shador. Yes, he has his opportunity today, but I still think they view him as a developmental quarterback. And I actually think, you pointing toward the future, I think they keep four quarterbacks. I'm being dead serious. I think they put, maybe Pickett gets on some sort of PUP list, but I think at the end of the day that they need Flacco, obviously. Like, you need some stability. Pickett is their, you know, upside guy. And then Dylan and Shador are pure developmental guys. And I don't think Dylan has a chance to start either. By the way, can we clump them together a little bit? They're rookies. They have to learn so much. Even with this opportunity, there's just so much to learn. To get out there week one and be ready seems like way too tall a task for me.
Okay, but I ask you, let's say Kenny Pickett now has to miss the next 5 weeks.
But that seems, okay.
Let's say it's three.
Well, if he misses the next 5 weeks, then he goes on IR.
I was going to say, because now 5 weeks is the season.
Right, so then you start Flacco.
So who's the backup? Then it'd be
Gabriel.
Dylan. Okay, so it's not that inconceivable that he could be out there week one. Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles 4 snaps into the game 2 years ago, right, into the season. Who's the next man up on the depth chart if this does linger for Kenny Pickett?
Well, why do you think a 40-year-old Joe Flacco is an injury risk, by the way? Tom Brady never missed a game in his 40s, because I would say he's less of an injury risk because he knows where to go with the ball, so he's going to get rid of it. Honestly, you think young quarterbacks don't get hurt? They get hurt all the time because they don't know where to throw the ball and they run around, and that's when you get hurt.
Listen, it might be a little bit more, you know, from the shoulder up, Joe Flacco is going to be the smartest quarterback in that room, but sometimes your body just doesn't respond the way you want it to.
And I mean, I don't think you have, I would like to see this injury data on 40-year-old quarterbacks. They don't do anything. Like, they're like the steady Q, and your dad is a steady Q, and their kids running around. And also, Joe Flacco's like an oak tree. I don't think he's going to be rolling right or running downfield to tear a hamstring.
It takes one play, tackle misses a block, and all of a sudden you're getting blown up, and maybe who knows what's happening.
I'm just thinking of a lot of quarterbacks. It feels like a lot of quarterbacks take injuries earlier in their career because they're running around a lot. I mean, my guy, I'm thinking Philly, Donovan McNabb, second year, runs every play. Of course he tore his ACL. Like, you go... I don't think Flacco's an injury risk. Like, and also, Kenny Pickett's not going to be out for 5 weeks with a hamstring. So basically, I just think you're doing this thing where you're trying to get Shador in there.
No, I'm saying this is Shador's moment. Like, this is the biggest opportunity that he's had since he got drafted by the Browns. And it's funny because RBS is in the chat, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet. Says Shador's day is coming. It's here. This is it. This is what opportunity really looks like. It's getting drafted, yes, and then making the most of, you know, being in camp and having this opportunity, and then something happens where a guy in front of you goes down with an injury. Now, again, not season ending, but it does open up the lane for more reps, and what's Shador going to do with it? This week is huge for him. This is it. And, you know, if he doesn't make a dent in this quarterback competition this week, or, you know, by the time Pickett is healthy and comes back, then, you know, maybe it's not happening with the Browns. Like, maybe that's just not meant to be or whatever. Because if you have this opportunity, you're going head-to-head with Dylan Gabriel, and you can't beat him out if you guys are both getting similar types of reps,
right,
then I think that's saying something about Shador. Because I think when you're doing Dylan Gabriel versus Shador now, with Pickett out, with more reps to go around for everybody, right, you know, before the draft, I think anyone would have said Shador would probably beat Dylan Gabriel out in a straight in a head-to-head quarterback competition.
I agree, yep.
And if you can't do that now, then I think it says a lot about Shador. I'm not saying his career is over. I'm not writing him off completely. I just think that would be a big step. That would be a big blow to anyone who's still holding a lot of Shador stock.
I don't think the Browns are giving him the chance. And even with this injury, I don't think they're really putting him in the quarterback competition. I think they're going to keep both as developmental players.
And let's not forget Shallow.
Let's not forget Shallow. I think that Shador, they want to see Shador grow and learn in the NFL. I think they're just going to stash him on the bench and then maybe go to him in week 13 or 14 when the season's over.
Right.
Like, why does he have to be in the mix for quarterback week one?
I just want to see if he can actually beat Dylan Gabriel out at a competition if it's all things equal.
Well, I think that they can just, I think both get a tryout at some point during the regular season. Why not just keep both? I mean, I think, honestly, that's what I'm saying. I think they keep four quarterbacks, and I think that Flacco or Pickett gets a week one start. They start to lose games. And then week 7 or 8, they're like, let's turn to the other guys. Mm. Give Dylan Gabriel 2 games and give Shador a couple games late in the season. What's wrong with that plan?
It's fine. But if Shador, again, don't you think it should go, if he's as good as we thought he was, right? We thought he was a back end of the first round. Okay, not top five, clearly, even though that was a thing. Back end of the first round, second round quarterback. We're talking about the order here. Does it go Pickett and Flacco having some kind of combination of the first half of the season, and who's the first guy they would go to? I think that, I don't know if that gets determined now, this week, but I think a lot is getting determined. Why would we think it would go Gabriel and then Shador? I understand Gabriel was drafted ahead of Shador, but right now, you're just in a quarterback competition.
Well, it feels like up until this point that Gabriel's gotten all the first team reps and Shador's gotten none of them. So I would think Gabriel's ahead, also based on the draft round. He's a third round pick. Shador's a fifth round pick. I'd be surprised. Even though they're practicing in pads, is he going to be able to do enough to distinguish himself and get ahead of Gabriel and be the third string? But does it even matter? Because they're going to be third and fourth. They're third and fourth, and they're waiting to see what happens with Browns. Also, looming over all this, let's not kid ourselves. It's the fact that they have the Jags draft pick and their draft pick next year. This might all be part of a bigger quarterback plan where they're trying to develop. They're probably trying to see who's a better backup quarterback to next year's number one pick, Shador Sanders or Dylan Gabriel. I think you're getting way ahead of yourself and a lot of people thinking Shador is going to even still be in the mix for QB1. That's what I'm kind of hearing from you. Like, he could prove something this week. I do not see that as the Browns thinking at all. I think they like him and they want to stash him deep on the roster and say, let's see what we got with this guy and maybe keep him. Because he seems like, by all accounts, be very professional, except for the driving thing you mentioned, in camp. He's getting glowing reviews from his coaches and the press. So I think there's nothing wrong. Like, he doesn't have to start week one.
I don't think he has to start week one, but I got to see something this week. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. So now Kenny Pickett's dealing with a hamstring, which means the door is open at least for more reps for Shador Sanders. He has not made a dent in this quarterback competition so far.
Let me ask you a real question here.
Yeah.
So Shador went in the fifth round. Are we not sure that the draft market was accurate about that? As we look back on it now, you said we came in. Yeah, I admit I put him in my mock draft. But are you sure the NFL didn't know something we didn't know? And maybe he really is a fifth-round pick, because the draft market's pretty accurate. They do not mess around too much.
Okay.
Maybe he really is a fifth-round pick, and we were all wrong.
So a couple things on that. I don't think it was all football-related, right? So it depends. Like, if you take everything into the stew and you evaluate his market, then maybe they were right. If you think that Deion will be a distraction, or you think that, you know, coaches didn't want to draft Shador because they were worried about Deion. Deion, by the way, holding a mysterious press conference today at 1 o'clock Eastern time in Boulder, along with his doctors. And our own Andrew Kaplan's in the chat, Pearl. He's a proud Boulder alum. So nervous times in Boulder today.
It's his medical team. I mean, the president gets a medical team, not the Colorado coach typically.
Listen, who's your president? I am President Prime. He should definitely have a medical team. We'll get into that a little bit later, because I don't know, there's kind of conflicting sort of vibes coming out of Colorado. One, why are you doing a press conference with the medical team? And then two, Deion tweeting yesterday, I feel great. So hopefully this is just a clearing of the air. Hey, here's my doctors and I'm doing fantastic. But the thing about, you know, was the draft right on Shador? See, I don't think so. Because if it was just about football, I don't think you can say he's a fifth round pick. And, you know, that was always the thing. It was like other factors were playing in that seemed to push him down the draft, which was, how did he act in meetings? What's the Deion factor? All those stuff that I can't say has nothing to do with football. Clearly has to do with football, but not the actual on-the-field product.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I'm rethinking this. I think maybe he is a legit fifth-round pick, because all that plays into actually, like, how professional is he? Do they, you know, the coaches around him now, do they really trust him to hand the reins over the team? It's all part of the mix. And maybe, I don't know, maybe Dylan Gabriel is more of a, I'll do exactly what the coaches want guy. We have no idea. We're not there. Sure, we're always seen professional from the outside, but maybe the NFL knows something we don't. Because, again, it wasn't that egregious, everything going on with Deion. If he was closer to a top five talent, which most of the press thought he was, including me. Like, we all thought it was Cam Ward or Shador Sanders for a long time. I think maybe we're still overestimating him. Maybe we were having trouble letting go of that pre-draft evaluation.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Get it going with the Browns today again. Kenny Pickett has a hamstring injury, so now some more first-team or any first-team reps, maybe for Shedeur Sanders. Any? Because Joe Flacco doesn't need tons and tons of reps.
That's the thing.
Guy's 40. He needs to be healthy, the most important thing, right? You don't want some fluky thing happening in training camp. And so without Pickett and with him maybe sidelined for a little bit, and Flacco doesn't need all these like tons and tons of reps. It's a similar receiving core that it was 2 years ago when he took them to the playoffs. So Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur now get a real opportunity. So what do they do with it? Again, 888-710-4ISN. Also, we have this Deion Sanders press conference coming up later. I have an idea, by the way, of what I think they're going to say in the presser.
What about Shiloh?
Will Shiloh come up? Can we bet on that?
Kate is off the chain.
Should I tell you what I think next? What I think it
yeah.
is? I've never really predicted a press conference before. We don't usually make projections on stuff like this, but I think I have an idea of what Deion's getting at.
Can't wait.
Okay. Do that next, 888-710-4ISN. It's an all Sanders morning.
Juju is coming on round the mountain when he comes.
One of my favorite lines from Deion. Coming around the mountain when he comes. Yeehaw. Maggie and Pearl Love Show. Hope you had a great weekend. Lots of football for you today. And of course, more sports nicknames as we are now into the, are we at the Final Four? Or Elite Eight? Thank goodness. That was going too fast. We're at the Elite Eight of the Maggie and Pearl Love greatest nicknames in sports bracket. So much to do. Glad you're here with us, M&P.
Oh, my God.
Welcome back. Maggie and Pearl Off Show. Our show thread was on fire on Friday. I couldn't even do anything. I couldn't achieve anything or get any errands done because everybody had to weigh in with something. There's a conspiracy theory in the chat about identities of certain people. It's kind of gross. I don't even want to get into it right now. But, you know, you get into our YouTube chat, Infinity Sports Radio YouTube channel. Who knows who's behind some of those names there?
Well, let's just call like it is. You can't tease the audience like that, Pearl. I've gotten a lot of shrapnel, a lot more than I thought, quite frankly, because a couple months ago, I got devastatingly sick on the air, and I had to leave the show in the middle of the show. And I drove home, which was not advisable. It was a stupid idea. And I was throwing up while driving, and I didn't have anywhere to puke in my car except for my coffee cup. And then I washed it out, put it through the dishwasher, and I started drinking out of it again when I was healthy. And this has so offended all of the guys on the show to the point where I don't even carry that cup anymore. I've got a new cup.
Good, we won.
Thank God.
Bullying works, people.
Bullying does work.
You did bully me, and like I heard you. You said you guys were looking at me differently. Anyway, someone from the chat came to my defense, or tried, and said, of course she can clean the cup and keep using it. You don't clean the toilet after every time you go to the bathroom. And
I am an idiot.
And that was Drunkle Sam. And there's a conspiracy now that he's actually my real family member. As far as I know, he's not. We don't actually. I've never met him. I don't know anything really about him except for that he's fun in our chat. So Drunkle Sam is not actually my real drunk uncle. I don't even have a drunk uncle. My Uncle Wayne is very sober as a heart attack.
Right. I mean, your husband was also suggested, and you said, well, he would never be in the chat. And I said, that's exactly what he would want us to think if he was drunk with Sam.
Right, right. It was Andy it was going to be. It was him.
I think you're misremembering how this went down. Oh. I feel like there was another crazy take from Drunkle Sam that had Maggie Gray's fingerprints all over it.
Oh.
I think several, if we're going to actually look back at Drunkle Sam's takes, there's some logic there that reminds me a little bit of you. I mean, your Brazilian butt lift take was well covered last week by all the sports media.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like a Drunkle Sam inspired theory that if you get a Brazilian butt lift, it can help you generate power as a major league baseball hitter.
I was just asking questions.
Yeah.
Right.
Much like Drunkle Sam, just ask questions.
Right. Is it gross that you don't clean your toilet after every time you go to the bathroom? That all happened. That did all happen.
All right, you had a theory, Maggie, on why Deion Sanders is having his medical team at a press conference for Colorado like a politician. You know, like, let's bring him out and give the report on Deion's health. What do you think it is?
Yeah, I have a theory. I've never really projected a press conference before, but here's a prognostication on what I think is going to happen. I think that because college football is so cutthroat, My prediction is that people have been negatively recruiting against Deion using his health. And that's not scrupulous. Guys do it, though. Coaches are trying to get an edge, even more than just the money nowadays. And I think they've been using Deion's health, and he's not been around the program, and they've been negatively recruiting against him. So I think he's trying to say everything's fine. He's going to come out. The medical team's going to be there. Hey, you don't take it from me. Take it from this doctor who says I'm okay.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
That's my theory.
I just wonder, actually, this is with no actual facts. What if he said, like, they thought about actually amputating my leg?
Oof, I hope not.
I've wondered how serious this is getting with Deion. You know, some people, this is not Deion at all, but some people with diabetes lose body parts.
Oh, yeah.
My friend's mother lost her foot. Like, I wonder if that is where we're headed with Deion, because every year it seems to get worse. All these circulation issues in his lower body.
Yeah, I mean, I hope and pray it's not that, because that just seems terrible. Or if it does have to be that, maybe it gives him a little relief.
Well, I think what you're saying is accurate, that it's he passed the storm and now is on the other side. But the thing about recruiting isn't it always transfer portal? So you only have to be there 1 year with him. It's not the old game where you're talking trash about the other coach.
Well, I don't know. You still have to do some high school recruiting. I know that Deion says he can't go to high schools because he's too famous or whatever. I don't know. Nick Saban walked into a million high schools, and he's a pretty famous guy, too. He's not in the Hall of Fame like Deion is, you know. But again, I think that you still have to do some out of high school. And
what's up with that?
And, you know, he did recruit like a 5-star out of high school quarterback who's now in a quarterback competition. Yeah. So,
you know, Nick Saban, no longer than 5 minutes in the shower. This is in the spa. The greatest commercial ever.
Only 2 flushes. Yeah. Speaking of toilets, we actually have more toilet stuff today. Shockingly. Get ready. Hold on to your britches. Aaron Rodgers talking about the bathroom situation in Latrobe. Bogues is here. Later on, do we get a combined Bogish Andrew Perloff Happy Gilmore 2 review?
If you want. I don't know. Is it too soon for spoilers? I don't want to ruin the movie for people.
It's Monday.
Spoilers.
I mean, there's a pretty significant plot twist off the opening of the movie.
What, they see dead people? Like,
it's not Christopher Nolan's Inception. What are you talking about?
I don't want to ruin the movie for people. The whole premise of the movie comes right off the shoot. 3 minutes in, boom, here's what's going on. It's a stunner.
Do a non-spoiler review. It's doable. I've done them before.
You suck.
All reviews are non-spoiler. I mean, reviews come out, you know, the Roger Ebert reviews come out, and they're not supposed to have spoilers.
I understand, but this is a particular thing. It's not like just giving you the plot of the movie. This is a particular thing that people maybe don't know is coming, and I don't want to ruin that for them.
I don't know. I feel like this is doable. I feel like
it's doable. It's doable.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's we'll do that next hour. A Happy Gilmore 2 review from both Perloff and Bogues. I don't. No one else saw it, right?
I did not see it. No.
No, Manny. No, intern. No. Okay. Bogues, what else is going on?
Your headlines are sponsored by Progressive Commercial Insurance, protecting small businesses with affordable coverage options. Get a quote today at progressivecommercial.com. It was a win so monumental, the after effects are still being felt this morning. Oh, I'm sorry, Manny. I'm sorry.
Oh, my gosh. That just scared me.
Why are you like this?
That's supposed to be this.
Pitch the Grish. Swing on. Pull to the right side. That'll get through. Base hit. Wow. Castellanos has a good arm. Here comes McMahon. Wow. The throw cut off. Wow. Harper chases the runner back to first. RBI single by Trent Grisham, and the Yankees have a 4-2 lead.
Dave Sims on Yankees Radio.
Why did you just put a jackhammer in all of our ears at 6:29 in the morning?
It was really for Manny's ears, because after this Yankee 4-3 win over the Phillies, and actually with me asking the group who has seen Happy Gilmore 2, the first responses were, I didn't think you could do this, a blank text from Manny, and then gibberish from Manny, letting us know that Manny was hammered yesterday after this Yankee game.
It was all English. It was just the words were not in the right order.
It wasn't
English.
It wasn't all English.
Let me say, Mike Down drops up today, Manny.
Oh, you got English because I got Spanish. A direct message from Manny that was a voicemail that was completely in Spanish. That I'm singing.
You don't speak Spanish?
No, I do not. I'm sending to the top linguists in America to figure out, you know, what was being said in this voicemail.
You had to do Google Translate?
No, we got a problem.
Yeah, I saw that message. I was like, oh, gosh.
Yeah, you can send a blank text. You just have to space a couple times.
I did not.
Yeah, no, it's a great question.
That was Manny's reaction to me saying Bad Bunny deserves a Best Supporting Actor Oscar for Happy Gilmore 2. So the blank text was first, and then it came in ooh and boreated, period. You said ba, period, bunny?
Question mark.
The bunny came through. That was the English.
Yeah. And then there was another. So I said, "Who's drunk?" And you wrote back, "LM, I saw a drunk. I am God."
Yeah. But he still didn't deserve the drill. No, he may have. We didn't deserve the jackhammer in our ears. You got to warn the audience.
Innocent bystanders.
Listen.
No. Go back to the update.
The Yankee win, by the way, came on the same day that Aaron Judge officially went on the IL with a right forearm strain. Manager, Aaron Boone.
This makes the most sense to give this time to calm down a little bit, hopefully heal, and then hopefully put us in a better position long-term on it.
The Yanks apparently think Judge will be back after 10 days. He'll DH at that point because throwing could lead to a UCL injury, which could lead to surgery. Judge will not play first base like Bryce Harper, so usual DH, Giancarlo Stanton, is now prepping to play the outfield for the first time in nearly 2 years, which means he'll be on the IL in roughly 2 weeks.
Yes.
That guy's a walking hamstring injury.
Thanks, guys.
Wait, bit of an issue here with Aaron Judge injury. The way it's being covered is he's diagnosed with a flexor strain.
Yes.
We're supposed to know what a flexor is?
I actually saw people tweeting out pictures from the bodies exhibit of forearms and tendons. And this is what hurts, guy. This is what hurts. It's going to be okay. It's his forearm, not his elbow.
Is it a flexor or a hip? That's why I was like, why are they tweeting this like we all went to medical school?
I don't understand. Got labrums in your hip and your shoulder.
It's something you would get Tommy John for?
No, it's like a precursor to the issue going up into your elbow and then needing Tommy John surgery.
Why did they say it's an arm injury?
I guess they're being specific as opposed to hockey's upper
body
injury.
Did you know what a flexor was?
You know, I feel like I hear flexor with the UCL a lot.
Okay,
it's
I hear it with the hip. The hip flexor is the most common injury.
But think about it. When you're talking about baseball injuries of anyone, it's just the elbow is the last place you want to hear this. I'd almost rather have an injury to any other spot, maybe except for my back, maybe, when you're talking about baseball.
Yeah, but hip is bad, though. That's what you don't want either. I don't know if they get them.
Listen, Judge missed significant time because of a toe injury. Yeah. He had thoracic outlet. He broke a collarbone that they couldn't diagnose for months. I mean, he hasn't exactly been the picture of health. Now, he has since he signed that big contract, but this is not good.
Yeah, the toe injury, by the way, affects everything else. Because you know, you plant on that toe.
That was Dodger Stadium. He ran into the wall.
Yeah.
Anyway,
break on the end of that wall.
I think we got overconfident that Aaron Judge was going to stay healthy forever because he's been on a run. As a Phillies fan, I didn't like that part of the update at all.
Speaking of the Phillies, since they lost yesterday, the Mets pushed their NL East lead to a game and a half with last night's 5-3 win in San Francisco. That's a 3-game sweep and a 7-game win streak for New York. One of the bigger names on the trade market with Thursday's deadline looming came off the board last night. The Royals said to be signing righty starter Seth Lugo to a 2-year extension worth $46 million. Lugo has a 2.95 ERA after finishing second in AL Cy Young voting last season. The Chargers made left tackle Rashawn Slater the highest paid O-lineman ever yesterday. A 4-year extension, $92 million guaranteed. That's $7 million guaranteed more than fellow 2021 first-round pick Penei Sewell.
Another story, by the way, of another athlete who got their divorce and then got their massive
extension. Is that true?
Yes.
Slater?
He spolstered it?
Yes, he spolstered it.
How old is he?
He's young. He's a young man with a divorce. I know. I didn't know this. But, yeah, apparently he recently divorced his wife. And then now that that's finalized, he now has the record money coming from the Chargers for an offensive lineman.
Men are the worst.
Gosh. And especially California, I think, is one of those states that's very generous. I don't say generous, but very much about splitting assets equally. Yeah.
So I didn't realize this was a thing. Like, I know Russell Wilson got divorced. I know RG3 got divorced. Is that why? Just to do it early, get it out of the way?
No, that's the thing. Yeah, definitely. Guys will not sign their contracts. It's big contract extensions because that will all be split up with any ex-wife that you have until that divorce is finalized. And Slater apparently is one of them. I mean, signing now seemed kind of weird out of nowhere.
If I was a judge, I would look at that situation and say the wife deserves part of his future earnings as well and give her a chunk of that cash. Because you knew Rashawn Slater was going to be solid.
His PFF score.
You bring your PFF score, his Pro Football Focus score, into court.
Into the courtroom. Be like,
he's the third-ranked young left tackle. Anyway.
You call an expert witness Chris Collinsworth, slides into the jury. the witness stand.
Here's a guy.
And I call my special witness, ESPN's Ben Solak. Well, Mr. Slater can slide to the left on pass protection. Yeah, that's ridiculous to get out cheap here.
I feel great.
No, get your money, man. No problem at all with this.
EJ, be careful. You're about to get married.
I know. I'm just saying, though. I mean, what do you want me to do?
Well, other part, too, is wouldn't he have a prenup? I mean, the guy's a professional athlete. I would think that he would have a prenup.
I don't know.
So whatever she's getting may actually just be sort of already determined.
Prenups are tough.
I always thought I've had a couple friends who have had to sign them. I don't have one, but a couple friends have had to sign them and are not had to. They've agreed to them. And it's...
On their first marriage.
Yeah.
Oof.
And it's a tough conversation that and it's usually, this is the one part, it's usually pretty close to the wedding. Because I think a lot of men put this off. Like, it's an uncomfortable conversation to have. So the day you propose is also not the day when you're like, and I'm going to need this prenup sign. So Whites and Luxembourg can go over the details. So that always is tough.
I can't believe, I've never met anyone who signed a prenup.
Really?
I know one person, because she was marrying a guy whose family had a huge business. Yeah. And they were like, and they ended up getting divorced. And she still made out fine, but she had to sign something so she couldn't take the business, basically.
I feel like the second you put a prenup into the universe, the marriage is over.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
I'll bet you the percentage of divorces with prenups is very high. It's 50% on normal marriages. If you already signed a prenup, I'll bet you it's 70%.
Why?
Because you're already saying, this is not going to work out. Yeah. It's called till death do us part. You say that, not until death do us part, but if we do part, then...
Well, prenups, you get a million and that's
cap.
It.
Yeah.
Well, there are prenups that are like, not all of them are the same. Some of them are like, hey, you get this amount of money if I cheat, or you get this amount of money if... Like, it's not always... my thing is, though, like, if you're saying, oh, yes, we are all going to split assets unless you do X, Y, and Z, that sometimes... deters people not to do X, Y, and Z.
EJ wants conduct detrimental. Yeah.
Wait, EJ, it seems like you've done some research here on this prenup.
No, I'll be honest. There was Nikki Bella was recently talking about this because she got a divorce. And she mentioned how, the lawyer, because she was the breadwinner in her marriage. Mm-hmm. And the judge was like, I'm very proud of you going through this, but like, you should never do this again. And we're actually going to help you get set up with people to talk about prenups and for your future. So she was doing a podcast with like a women's advocacy group for prenuptial agreements for women who are bear makers.
So she did not have a prenup.
No. And so I was fascinated by this. So I was learning all about this. And apparently a lot of women don't get prenuptial agreements because it's really not part of, men are always talked about it, but they don't talk about it with women. Mm. There are a lot of women out there who are their breadwinners. So that becomes a conversation that she had to have, and it was interesting.
Didn't John Cena ask her to pay rent when they were dating?
He made her sign something that said that she had, she was a visitor, right, or something like that. I saw same headline.
Yeah. There was some kind of weird situation when they were dating for a long time. Cena and Nikki
Bella. There was a lot of weird stuff happening there.
They had a reality show together and everything.
Yeah.
So EJ, are you afraid Andre's going to ask for a prenup?
No.
It felt like that's where that was headed.
No, I'm telling you.
Or you're going to ask for it.
I'm not thinking about myself. I'm just reading this stuff. I'm like, this stuff is very fascinating.
I've heard the allegation.
I mean, and that's a poll question. Who's more likely to ask for a prenup, EJ or Andrea?
Let's go!
All right, let's leave it there. 888-710-4ISN. Bogues, thank you so much. Coming up, lots to do, including somebody could have a runway to history. Get to that next.
Ew.
Yeah, and add one more yesterday. Cal Raleigh now at 41 home runs, Pearl, and on pace to break the American League record. That is, of course, 62, held by Aaron Judge, who did it in 2022. And now that Aaron Judge is on the IL because he's got an elbow issue, Cal Raleigh really is kind of all alone here, and he could make some serious history. Do you love this or no?
Oh, my God, of course I love it. But I love Cal Raleigh, love the nickname, love everything about him, except that it does... does feel like, how do I say this without being controversial? Like, it doesn't feel like we're really chasing home run history. It feels like home run history is over. It died, to me, it died in 1998. Mm. Like, we care, but we're not going to care like we used to. Even if he does go for 60, 65, it's great, but Judge just did it. Like, obviously, they probably tighten the ball up or loosen the ball, whatever makes home runs. I don't know. I'm not taking it as like, as a kid, I used to follow home runs religiously. This is a cool story, but it's not, to me, it's not break into TV worthy.
Okay, but they did that with Aaron Judge.
I know, and I kind of thought
like
they
it.
Should. I didn't care. I'm like, did they do it for Barry Bonds in 2003? Or whatever year the 73 homers?
Yeah,
probably, yeah.
Definitely.
And I felt like, oh, I wasted my time on that. Why am I going to do it again? So I've never come back to the being impressed, overly impressed by home run numbers. Have you?
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely into the Judge thing for sure. The Maris family, you know, kind of following him basically all over the East Coast to wait for him to break Roger Maris's single season home run record. And I get why home runs have gotten watered down. I think the question is, you know, Cal Raleigh has now taken over as the odds-on favorite to win the AL MVP this year, obviously.
Yep.
But do we think that Cal Raleigh is going to be like a perennial MVP candidate, right? Is Cal Raleigh, you know, this incredible story, the big dumper, we love the nickname and all of that, but is he going to be somebody who, after his career is over, we remember as this amazing all-time player? Or is he going to be someone who feels a little bit more like a flash in the pan? And I don't know yet, and neither does anybody, because Cal Raleigh's numbers, like historically leading up to this season, were never, you know, like amazing. And the guy's a catcher, by the way. So I don't think we were expecting that his numbers have to be so incredibly off the charts. No one thought he was the next Mike Piazza or, you know, Johnny Bench. But now he's kind of entered this different stratosphere. I'm just wondering, is this now the new Cal Raleigh and he becomes this huge figure in baseball? Or is this like a peak and then we kind of see him go back to his, you know, sort of career numbers?
Gosh, I have no idea. I think in the 2000s and 2010s, we saw a lot more one-hit wonders. Feels like, because he's a catcher and there's so much wear and tear on his body, I feel like one-hit wonder is closer to accurate.
Yeah.
How do you sustain this as a catcher? That sounds impossible. Maybe eventually move him to DH. By the way, he's not that far ahead of the crowd in home runs. They're definitely going to set the record again for home runs this year. It's not that hard. I mean, let's face it. A few years ago, or actually several years, the fences came in a little bit. Who knows what they're doing with the ball? Because Shohei's at 38, and Judge, if he gets back at 37. I'm not going to guarantee that Raleigh's going to win the home run crown.
For the American League, though, I don't know.
How long?
10 days off for Judge. Like, if you're considering, you know, if Raleigh stays healthy and you consider this pace, like, he should, you know, Judge, he might leave in the dust.
I mean, in these 10 games or 10 days, Raleigh hit 3 or 4 more home runs.
Yeah, it could be hard to end up chasing, you know, for Judge to chase him down. Unless Judge comes back, like, better than ever. But I don't think that's what... I wonder deep down if that's what the Yankees think or what anyone thinks. Like, this is something he's going to have to manage now from here on out.
Please.
But, and then in that case, Raleigh gets the MVP. But what if Shohei, by the way, can I call myself out on something?
Yeah, sure.
I said the second he started pitching, his hitting was going to go down. And statistically it has, but the dude is hitting home runs now. Forget it. I mean, his hitting is back. So if Shohei just stays healthy, gosh forbid, then he could beat Raleigh. If Raleigh's not the major league home run leader, does this story mean as much?
We always do the thing where it's American League versus NL. And, you know, it's going to be Bonds at 73, which is going to be really, really, really hard. Really hard.
Well, I think they both get into the 60s this year.
Yeah, man, 73.
Right. No, I don't think anyone's getting. And if somebody did get 73, nobody would believe that it's legit.
Where's Shohei right now? 38.
You don't think if Judge or Shohei hit 74 that we would think it's legit? Quote unquote.
I mean, it's kind of like getting 100 on the test. I think it would be, there'd be a lot of it raised eyebrows.
Because we really didn't raise eyebrows when Judge passed Roger Maris.
To be honest,
74 is a lot.
I know. Yeah, I get you.
And we'd definitely be breaking into TV, you know, breaking into college football games and stuff like with Aaron Judge. But
nobody cares about Barry Bonds' record. They're small footnotes historically.
I think they'll care if someone's chasing it, though.
I do, especially because, and I know that this is a little bit, you know, you can laugh, you can chuckle, you can roll your eyes. I do think people have a little bit more faith in this era than they obviously did back in the early 2000s. You know, first of all, Major League Baseball didn't even really start testing for steroids until 2003? So now there's all these protocols. Guys do get popped. You know, it does happen. So I think there's, I think the average fan believes more the guys are on the level now than they did, obviously, when Bonds was playing.
Well, that's impossible because nobody knew what was going on when Bonds was playing. Everyone believed back then.
Right, but now we kind of realize, all right, well, that wasn't...
I think with Bonds, it definitely turned the corner.
People were throwing syringes on the field.
Yeah, and he
stuff.
Was... I mean, I was cutting sound. I mean, they were asking him questions when he broke the record about steroids and stuff. I mean, he was getting questioned when that was happening, especially when he was chasing Hank Aaron. By that time, he was getting hammered with questions about steroids.
But I think the people now don't really
don't
think
ask.
About it.
Yeah, no one's asking Kyle Riley about steroids in any of these conversations.
At least I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I feel like we would have seen that if that happened, and I'm not saying that they necessarily should.
Well, Riley's not going to get to 74. If somebody got to 74, I think America would be skeptical. I really do. I mean, they should be, right? I mean, 74 home runs in a season is...
It's crazy.
But I mean, you're telling me somebody can do it, unless like the game has changed. First of all, the guys are pitching faster, which means more length on your home run. So maybe there are factors, but it's not just the steroids. It's also the baseball. It's also the way they play the game now. I think people would be skeptical.
Well, listen, the baseballs have been getting messed around with for a while, and especially the year that Judge was breaking the American League record. Like they've always tweaked the formula, but I'm kind of curious how they make baseballs is fascinating. They have this specific mud that they rub on the baseballs that can only come from someplace in Delaware. It's like some random thing that Rawlings does. But anyway, I think the question is if we see more baseball players starting to break these home run records, are you getting more skeptical? 888-710-4ISN, or do you just think now they are testing, they are doing what they can do, so unless a guy gets, you know, caught, believe. Why not believe? And the other question,
because
too,
we've been there, I'm never letting that happen to myself again. I will never, ever, ever get back into a home run race. I can't. I got screwed before. And I'm not going to be that guy.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. What if it was Bryce Harper?
Well, Kyle Schwarber could
right,
easily catch
a guy you like on the Phillies, your favorite team. Would you be into it then?
I love him because who he is as a player. If he got 74 home runs, I'd be like, okay, give me a break, dude.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Chris is in California. We talked about Kenny Pickett going down with a hamstring injury, and now the door could be open for Shador Sanders to make a dent in this quarterback competition. What's up, Chris?
Hey, good morning, guys. What's going on?
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I mean, personally, but as a fan of Kenny Pickett's, I'm not doing okay. I just find it very bizarre on how the NFL has treated this guy's career. I really have.
Okay.
You know, if you guys do your research, and I've gone back to, like, even, you know, Blake Bortles. Every quarterback taken, the very first quarterback taken by their drafted team, has been given more than a two-year, you know, opportunity. Kenny Pickett hasn't had a full two-year opportunity in Pittsburgh. Not only that, he was forced to be a backup behind Jalen Hurts, and now he has this mysterious injury. I just think that, like, what happens behind closed doors, no one knows about. So I feel like maybe the NFL is just working against his career.
Well, Chris, hold on one second. Hold on, I got to stop you there. Jalen Hurts had already been to the Super Bowl and was one James Bradbury holding call away from possibly beating Patrick Mahomes. Kenny Pickett was not going in there to take Jalen Hurts' job in Philadelphia. Now, what happened in Pittsburgh? That we might want to talk about. That team gave up on him. Maybe it was too early. Now he's just got a hamstring injury. There's nothing the NFL could do about that.